Turn in the Bible, in the Word of God. We're going to read from the Gospel of Luke. In fact, we're going to read the passage that the children recited to us a few minutes ago, but I'm going to read rather than recite in case I get it wrong and my memory fails me. So that's Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It's on page 1033 in the Church Bibles. So I'm going to read from verse 25 to verse 35. Let's hear the word of God as we find it in this passage. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, very good, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. 2,000 years ago, in Jerusalem, there was a man called Simeon. We know very little about Simeon, apart from what we have here in this passage. In fact, all we know about Simeon is what we find in these 11 verses from verse 25 to verse 35. We often think of Simeon as an old man. He may well have been an old man, but that itself is only a guess. But there are two things we can say with great certainty about Simeon. And the first was that Simeon was looking for peace. Real peace. True peace. We read, as we're introduced to Simeon in verse 25, that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting to be consoled. What does it mean to be consoled? I've come to console you. I've been consoled. Well, we often think that when we're consoled, it means that we've been upset. Maybe we've been crying, we've been grieving, we've been mourning, we're very low, our spirits are very low. And along comes somebody who dries our tears and comforts us, and we're okay again. I'm feeling normal now. I'm feeling all right. I've been consoled. I'm back on an even keel. Is that what Simeon meant? He meant something much more than that. He meant something much stronger than that. This consolation is not just the absence of grief. This consolation is the bringing of positive comfort. It's being encouraged. It's being strengthened. It's having a drooping head being lifted up. It's having weak knees being strengthened. It's not about being okay. It's about being radiant. It's about having a warm heart and a shining face. Because the peace that Simeon was looking for was not simply the absence of something dangerous and unpleasant and noisy. It wasn't the absence of war and unrest and turbulence. In the Bible, peace is not a quiet life, me doing what I want to do, unhurried, unmolested, undisturbed. It's more than that. Peace is linked with joy. It's life-giving. It's health-giving. It's radiant. Simeon was looking for that. He wanted what I've just described. He wanted a joyful peace and a peaceful joy. He wanted his head and his heart and his mind to be elevated, to be strengthened, to rejoice. And the second thing I'd say about Simeon is this, and this is the most important thing. He found the peace that he was looking for. In fact, you might say this, the whole life of Simeon, that may have been a very long life, was one long preparation for this day, the day when he would find the peace he was yearning for. About 30 years ago, there was a song by a group called U2. They were quite a young group in those days. They're still around now. But there was a song that had the title, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." I still haven't found what I'm looking for. What does that mean? Does it mean that Bono has lost his keys and he's looking around the house and he says to his wife, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for"? I don't think it means that. The idea is not just I can't find something that I know what it is. The idea is I haven't found it and I really don't know what it is I'm looking for. But I think when I find what I'm looking for, I'll know that it's the thing that I need and that I want. And I wonder whether some of you feel like that. There's a hole in your life. Oh, your life is full of various things. You've got your work. You've got your friends. You've got Monday to Friday, and you've got Saturday and Sunday. You've got the weekend. You've got your job. You've got your holidays. You've got your fun. You've got your family. You've got your activities. You've got all of these things, and life is quite full for you. And your life is probably lived in the fast lane, some of you. Maybe, maybe not. But whatever your life is like, you might be saying, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Something is missing. There must be more to life than this. I mean, I have a hilarious life. I enjoy life. I do all sorts of things. Life is a roller coaster, but there's something missing." Or maybe there's actually not so much something as someone missing in my life. And I don't just mean a life companion that I can live with, a partner, a husband, or a wife. I mean there's someone greater. And I don't know him, and I want to know him, but who is he? A number of years after Simeon, a man called Paul went to the city of Athens. And he went round the city of Athens, and he saw all sorts of statues and temples and objects of worship. And he found an altar there. And on that altar were some curious words. "To an unknown God." To the unknown God. There's an altar in Athens, addressed, dedicated to an unknown God. How interesting is that? You see, the Greeks had all their gods. They'd had all their gods for centuries. Zeus and Poseidon and Kronos and Hermes and Apollo. And you can go through all the Greek gods. And yet somehow all these Greek gods, they weren't the real thing. There's something missing. Oh, the unknown God. God of my heart's desire, the God that I would like to reach up and touch, but I don't know where he is or who he is or how to find him. And what Paul said on that day in Athens was something which I'm saying here this morning. That what you regard as someone unknown, I today proclaim to you. You see, Simeon's longing was not for something vague and shadowy and indefinable. Simeon wasn't looking for something, anything, someone, anyone. It was much more clear than that. We read about Simeon in verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now you see, God, the God of the universe, the God of this world, the God who made everything, had said to Simeon at a point in his life, miraculously, supernaturally, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the one that I'm sending you, the Lord's Christ. And when does peace come to Simeon? It's when Mary and Joseph go into the temple, bringing the infant Jesus with them. And it's then when Simeon takes this baby into his arms that he speaks these amazing words. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. Now that's a bit curious, isn't it? What on earth does Simeon mean by that? What is salvation? Well, salvation means to be saved. Salvation means to be rescued. Salvation means to be delivered from some great evil, some great danger, some great threat. How can Simeon look at a baby and say, I've seen salvation? I mean, isn't salvation a bit of an abstract kind of word? I mean, would you say, I've seen democracy, I've seen diplomacy, I've seen deregulation, I've seen this or that kind of abstract sounding word? It doesn't make any sense. How can you look at something as abstract as salvation? But wait. We must get out of our heads any abstract idea of salvation at all. The Bible is not remotely interested in abstract ideas. The Bible is interested in what is concrete, what is certain. And picture, if you can, this man Simeon, an old man maybe, Simeon, and he's holding a baby in his arms as you would hold a small child in your arms, and he's looking into the eyes of this baby and he's saying, here is salvation, here is rescue, here is deliverance, here is safety, here is peace, here is joy, here is life, here is everlasting life, here is what my life and your life maybe has all been for, leading up to, maybe this day. Oh, that your eyes would see salvation today. Now let me try and illustrate this. My eyes have seen salvation in a child, in a human baby. How? How can you say a baby is salvation? Okay, a baby might somehow be savior, but salvation. Well, let me explain. I remember a documentary program a number of years ago. It was one of these 999 rescue programs. And there was a woman, and she had been out trekking in the hills or the mountains in wintertime. It was Highlands of Scotland or maybe the North Yorkshire, somewhere like that. And she'd slipped, and she'd broken her ankle, and she couldn't get up, and she couldn't move. And it was December or January, and she was there. It was about to get dark. It was very, very cold. And she thought, well, what am I going to do? What if I remain here? What if I die of exposure on this mountainside? What's going to happen to me? And then the program showed that she heard the fluttering of rotating helicopter wings. She saw the lights of a helicopter coming round the hillside. She saw the great searchlight, the search beam of the helicopter shining around and picking her out on the mountainside. She saw the line, the ladder being let down from the helicopter. And she said, when I saw the helicopter, I said, salvation! That helicopter is my salvation. The helicopter's been sent to save me. I'm going to soon be within the body of that helicopter, in a place of safety, in a place of security, in a place of warmth, in a place of shelter, to be cared for. The helicopter contains everything needed to bring me back to safety, salvation. Jesus is salvation. It's not a question of what is salvation, it's who is salvation. Jesus is salvation. Please understand this, every single one of you. What is Christianity? What is it that we are concerned about? What's the great message, not only of Christmas, but of every day of the year? It's not some idea. It's not some philosophy. It's not something abstract. It's not some system. It's not some program. It's not some course. It's not self-help. It's not yoga. It's not mindfulness. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not a lifestyle that you take up. It's not anything that you do or become or study or anything like that. It's Jesus. It's Him. For my eyes have seen your salvation in the child Jesus. Jesus Himself, this wonderful person. And how many places the Bible tells us that Jesus is salvation. Jesus says to His disciples, "Whoever has seen me has seen God the Father." He is the image of the invisible God. If you know Jesus, you know God. In Jesus, all the fullness of God dwells. You want to know what you're looking for. You want to know what ultimate truth is. You want to find that missing piece in your jigsaw. You're wondering why, although your life might seem great fun and very fulfilling at times, there's a big piece missing. There's an aching void. Well, that gap is Jesus. It can be no one else and nothing else. Now, why do I say that? We're not talking here about Simeon's own personal, private, individual, inner peace. Nothing would have been more offensive for Simeon. Nothing is further from the truth for any Christian than for somebody to come up to a Christian or to Simeon and say something like this: "I'm really pleased for you, Simeon. I'm so glad you found your peace. That's marvelous. May all your dreams come true. I mean, I personally don't have any interest in this Jesus, but I'm glad you do. I'm glad it works for you, brother. I'm not religious. I'm not a Christian. I'm nothing of that kind. I have no interest in these things, but I'm glad you do, and it works for you. I've found something else, something that suits me, or maybe like the song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for, but if Jesus works for you, well, that's great." No. What the Bible insists upon is that Jesus is the only salvation. Jesus is the only peace. Jesus is the only life. You can't find life and salvation and peace ultimately anywhere else. You might ease your troubled mind for a period of time. You might go on a bit of a high for a period of days or even weeks. You might calm the waters. You might feel fulfilled. You might feel some kind of gentle therapy. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. That's not what Simeon is talking about. He is the only peace. He is the only life. He is the only salvation. Why? Well, let me close with this. Look at the words of Simeon to his mother Mary at the end of this passage. Verse 34 and 35. He says, "This child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. You see, this baby Jesus wasn't going to remain a baby. Like every baby, he's going to grow up. He's going to become a young boy. He's going to become a teenager. He's going to become a man. And the great life's work of Jesus is that he must lay down his life. For this purpose, he was sent into this world, that he might lay down his life, might willingly die on a Roman cross, might be put to death as an innocent man. Why? Because he'd failed in his mission? Because he was giving us some remarkable example of passive resistance? Because he was the most outstanding example of meekness and suffering that the world's ever seen? None of those things are enough. He died in order to make peace between a good, holy, righteous God and people like you and me who are not holy, who are not righteous, who stand in great need. Why did Simeon rejoice to see Jesus? Because he could see with the insight that the Holy Spirit gave him that this Jesus, by his death, would bring about eternal reconciliation and peace between God and a people on this earth who stand in such need of rescue. You know, we are just as disabled and paralyzed, unable to move as that woman upon the hillside. That's what we're like spiritually. We can't climb up to heaven. We can't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves good. We have to be rescued. A line has to be let down to us. Jesus has to come and save us. What do you and I need to do? We need to recognize that. We need to see that Simeon's words are true, not just for him, but for everyone. And not just true then, but true every day. See what he says. This is prepared in the presence of all peoples. All peoples. I don't know all of you very well at all, but I know something about you. You are a human being, and you need the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. God says that. That is certain. That is established. There is only one way that we can know peace. There's only one way that we can face death like Simeon and say, Lord, I'm ready to go now, whenever you take me. I've seen your salvation. How do we see God's salvation? We see Jesus. Come to him. Talk to him. Pray to him. Come here and find out about him. Talk to us about him. What is this church? What is every true church? It's a group of people who can say, like Simeon, my eyes, O God, my eyes have seen your salvation because I've seen Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let's pray together.